Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. My name is Scott Reich, and this is Crime Talk, the most fact-driven, unbiased, true crime channel. First on the docket, Letitia Stauch wants an attorney. Second, Ann Duggar is standing by her man, Josh Duggar. Third, Ghislaine Maxwell. She's had her trial delayed. We'll explain why. Fourth, this is just gross. And finally, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Let's talk about it. Good day, Crime Talk aficionados. This is Crime Talk, and my name is Scott Reich. Thanks for watching. If you haven't done so already, please hit that subscribe button as well as the bell, so that you receive notifications of when we go live or put up new content. Tonight is Tuesday, and we will be going live at 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Please join us right here on YouTube as well as Facebook. We're going to have a great show. Immediately following our live program, we will do our Patreon members live. But with our Patreon members, you can also phone in. So if you have a question or a case you'd like to talk about, make sure you become a Patreon member. And please join us. All right, first on the docket, Letitia Stauch. For those who do not recall, she has been charged, and this case has been nothing but a mess from the beginning. It was originally delayed because of COVID. It was delayed because Letitia Stauch was arrested in South Carolina and brought back. She fired her attorneys. She was going to do it pro se. The court granted that request to proceed pro se. And now she is asking for an attorney. Let's take a look at what she actually filed. Here's a handwritten motion filed with the court by Letitia Stauch. It states, I, Letitia Stauch, hereby request the appointment of a state attorney instead of the public defender's office. And then the majority of the pleading is blacked out, redacted, and there's just a signature at the bottom or signed Letitia Stauch. Now, what does this really mean? The court took this as a motion to appoint the public defender. The court has set this matter for a hearing tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m., basically for an appearance of counsel. This is going to further delay the proceedings. Why, you might ask? Well, once the public defender is off the case, they stop working on it. They're going to have to once again get up to speed, reschedule hearing dates that I'm sure have already been set with other matters because this case was off their docket. So anticipate the preliminary hearing, proof evident presumption, great hearing being delayed. Now, what Letitia Stauch is also asking for is not what the judge gave her. Now, when one is in custody, you have a right to an attorney, and therefore you would be appointed the public defender. If there is a conflict, then a private attorney would be appointed at state expense from the office of the alternate defense counsel. But there has to be an ethical conflict that would warrant the public defender to get off. Here, irreconcilable differences simply to the effect of you cannot get along with the office of the public defender, you don't like their attorneys, whatever, is not an ethical conflict. That's why the court reappointed the office of the public defender. If the public defender believes that there's an ethical conflict, they would then have to file a motion to withdraw, and then a private attorney would be appointed to represent Ms. Stauch. But there doesn't appear to be anything, and therefore she is going to get, more than likely, the same public defenders that she didn't like that were on the case previously. We will keep you up to date on how this hearing goes tomorrow. Next on the docket, Anna Duggar is standing by her man, Josh Duggar.
Hello, I'm Josh Duggar. Hello, I'm Josh Duggar. Hello, I'm Josh Duggar.
That's right. As you may recall, we talked about last week, and Josh Duggar is set for an arraignment detention hearing on May 5th. We'll see if Josh Duggar gets released anytime soon back into pretrial custody. These are tough cases for the court to decide whether they should let somebody back into the community. First question is going to be, where are they going to stay when they are released from custody? In this case, Josh can't go home to Anna and his six other kids with one on the way because he's not going to be able to be around anyone under the age of 18 for obvious reasons. Why is that, you might ask? Well, that's because the two-count indictment alleges receipt of child pornography as well as possession of child pornography. And let's face it, that's not a good indicator that you should be hanging around children, even your own. That's right. And given the fact that there's been previous allegations made by Josh's own sisters, as well as other young ladies years ago when he was a teenager, that he would allegedly fondle them while they were asleep, that would be a poor indicator that he would be safe with anyone under the age of 18. Now, Josh's wife, Anna, is standing by Josh, and she, in fact, apparently accompanied him to the Fayetteville detention center when he turned himself in. She has no plans to divorce. As stated, they have 6 children together and 1 on the way. Apparently, people close to Anna are simply asking that everyone pray for Josh and Anna. Obviously, we're going to give Mr. Duggar the presumption of innocence, because like anyone accused of a crime, and if it was you or your family, you would demand and want the same presumption as well. And these cases, when they hit the federal court, are a little more unique than they are when it comes to state courts. State courts usually deal with things that happen, and then they try to solve it and charge somebody. Like, ooh, there's a dead body. We should probably figure out who did this and then charge somebody. In the federal courts, they usually build a case. They have a lot of information. They usually have much more resources than the states do, and they take their time. If you look at the conviction rate in the federal system, it's still higher than the state system, but it's like 98.9% conviction rate in the federal court. And of course, about 98% of those cases wind up in plea bargains. Why in plea bargains? Because the consequences are so high. And when you go to the federal system, let's get something straight here. Probation is very, very unlikely, particularly on a child sex abuse images type of case. That is a go-to-prison kind of case. There's a lot of factors that go into it, particularly the number of photos. How many times were they downloaded and sent out to other individuals? There's so many factors that come into play. And in this particular case, they have to be able to put Josh Duggar behind the keyboard and knowing that those images were there. If they had enough to charge him years ago when these allegations came forward and the investigation started, it obviously took some time, but the United States attorney feels confident that they have enough to convict the case. Why do we know that? A prosecuting attorney cannot bring charges unless they ethically believe that they can prove their case beyond a reasonable doubt. This case should also move rather quickly, particularly if Mr. Duggar stays in custody. They'll have to get him to trial within 70 days unless the defense moves to continue if they need to hire experts or do something to analyze the evidence in this case. We'll keep close eye on this particular case, and we will let you know how the detention hearing goes in a couple of days. Next on the docket, Ghislaine Maxwell. Her attorneys had stated that the prosecutor should not be allowed to amend the indictment in her case, and that the amendments actually expanded the time period, and therefore it created a lot of work, and they needed additional time to prepare. The United States attorney argued that, hey, it's not that big of a deal. Sure, the time period was expanded. Sure, we added 2 more victims, alleged victims in the case, but the defense should be able to do this just in time for the July trial date. Ultimately, the judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case is going to allow a continuance of the trial date. They were scheduled to commence trial this July, and now there's going to be a hearing on May 10th, whereby both sides have to propose dates for some sort of a trial date in the early fall. Now, who's really to blame for this? Yes, the defense needs time to prepare. And when you're preparing and you think this is your case, and then all of a sudden they add more information to you, well, it sucks. It changes lots of things. strategy, evidentiary theories, it all can change just like that. In my humble opinion, the people who are responsible for this are the United States attorneys. The United States attorneys, like we just talked about, they have all the resources. They had all this information ahead of time. They're the ones that took it to the grand jury. They presented an indictment. And when you present that indictment and it is presented in court, that is the United States government saying, we are ready to go to trial within the speedy trial time clock. And then when they supersede and add information that you must assume they probably had some idea that it existed and it was out there, why didn't they bring it at the time? If they knew about it and didn't bring it, they shouldn't be allowed to amend. But the rules for amending and adding superseding indictments is very liberal, and they can do it literally almost up to the point of trial. And it creates chaos because you have to move dates. That affects witnesses. It affects expert witnesses. It changes trial strategies. It's a complete mess. We'll see. Maybe we'll get a trial sometime in 2021. Next on the docket, I think I describe this simply as, this is just gross in the introduction. Well, Billie Jean Seibold, 65, and here's a picture of his mugshot. He's been charged with 300 counts of incest. That's right. Incest. That's just gross, right? Well, he is alleged to have sexually assaulted a juvenile relative for 6 years. The juvenile alleges that Seibold had sexually assaulted her at least once a week from 2014 to 2017 and again after 2018. Seibold was arrested on April 28th and he's being held on a $1 million bond. He faces 312 counts of incest, one for each week the girl was with him. If this is in fact so, Mr. Seibold needs to spend the rest of his life in prison. Certainly will give him the presumption of innocence, as everyone's entitled to. Needless to say, I don't think Mr. Seibold is going to have the nice, relaxing end of his life as he was probably anticipating. Now, before we go on, this is the type of situation where, that's right, everybody needs to know with whom they are dealing. Even if it's a relative, even if it's a stranger, next door neighbor, someone you've been curious about, listen to this message on the break. Please go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up for a background subscription service. You'll be happy you did. If there's anyone out there you were ever curious about what was in their background, now is the time to do it. If you're going to get involved with somebody, now is the time to do it. When you go to crimetalksearch.com, you put in the name, literally millions of public records are searched and a report is generated. And it's going to give you a report. If they have multiple social media accounts, you're going to find it. If they have multiple phone numbers, multiple email addresses, it's going to be found. And more importantly, you're going to get information regarding criminal history. Hopefully the person you're searching has none whatsoever, but if it's there, it's going to be found. You're going to get everything you'd want to know, whether you're going into business or whether you're going into a personal relationship, you're going to be able to find out the information you want to know. So go to crimetalksearch.com, sign up today. You'll be happy you did. Next on the docket, our dumb criminal contestant of the day. Our dumb criminal contestant is Gail Metwally. She's 47 and she lives in Cecil County, which apparently is in Maryland. She has been charged with first and second degree attempted murder, first degree arson, first degree assault, two counts of malicious burning in the first degree, two counts of malicious destruction of property, and two counts of reckless endangerment. Apparently, she got into a little bit of an argument with her roommates and somehow, she may have lit the home on fire. But instead of saying, oh my gosh, the house is on fire, everybody get out, what did she do? Knowing that people were inside, she went and got a hat and a lawn chair and sat in the front yard to watch it burn. Now, I don't know if this woman has just absolute guts, boldness, or stupidity. But needless to say, she apparently realized what was going on and decided to walk away. The police ultimately caught her. How are they going to be able to say that it was Miss Met Wally who did this? Well, a neighbor has it all on video. Take a look at this.
I'm watching the house go up in flames. Oh my God.
What's the address, bro?
I cannot actually believe my eyes.
477.
I cannot actually believe it. And she's sitting there just chilling, watching the house go up in flames.
Miss Met Wally, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Sure, you stuck around. Sure, it was on video. Sure, you lit the place on fire. But you got to admit, it takes a little bit of guts to do that and a little bit of stupidity to sit there and admire your work. Miss Met Wally, you are a dumb criminal contestant of the day. Congratulations. All right, that's all we have for you today. Please join us tonight, 6 p.m. Mountain Time, both on YouTube and Facebook. We will be here. We're going to have a great show for you. We'll take your questions. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. And please join us for our Patreon live show as well. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you this evening.